This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, and welcome. Welcome aboard. June the 8th, 2021. The show DCR with you right here, as always, every Monday to Friday, 98.7 ESPN. Oh, lots going on. The Nets, I mean, embarrassing is not nearly a strong enough word to describe what they did to Milwaukee last night. That was pathetic from the Bucks. Islanders with a huge win last night, one win away from going, I guess it's not the Eastern Conference Finals anymore, but into the Final Four. Tom Thibodeau winning Coach of the Year in the NBA. And look who's back. Rick DiPietro decided to join us today. So a lot to do. 800-919-3776. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. As far as the Milwaukee Bucks go, thank you for coming. God bless you. Good night. As a matter of fact, let me walk that back. As far as the NBA playoffs go for the rest of the field, God bless you. Good night. I mean, that performance last night by the Brooklyn Nets, my goodness.
Oof. Yeah, that was the first quarter TKO. I mean, that's as bad as a beatdown as we'll ever see in postseason. I don't care what the sport is.
Down by 50 points last night? They don't have, I mean, James Harden? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, but at that, I mean, who needs James Harden when Kevin Durant's going to do what Kevin Durant did? And I mean, just everybody. They got contributions all over the place. I mean, the first quarter was it. I mean, that was it. That Milwaukee, you figured, right? And they always, I get it, like, you know, home team's supposed to take care of your business, but I think everybody thought that this would be the toughest test Brooklyn would face until potentially they got to the NBA Finals.
And the Brooklyn Nets scoffed at it.
Laughed at it. It's 125 points they score. KD doesn't play in the fourth quarter. They only had 7 free throw attempts. They made 6 of them.
Rico, they went 39 minutes between free throw attempts. 39 minutes. That means they were getting whatever shots they wanted against the Milwaukee Bucks. The team that we thought matched up against the Brooklyn Nets defensively the best out of all the teams in the playoff field. And Kevin Durant just took turns on Milwaukee defenders, dicing them up.
I laugh. Look at PJ Tucker is a tremendous addition. Drew Holiday is going to be the big difference. Come on,
Dave.
Stop it.
And they were throwing everybody at KD early just to see what they could do. They went man, they went zone. It didn't matter. Like, there was one time, I think it was 7.5 minutes in the first quarter. It was a 3-point game, and Kevin Durant is just crossing up Giannis and then pulls up for a mid-range jumper. And I was just sitting there thinking, oh yeah, they in trouble. I mean, Giannis is supposed to be their best defender from a size and athleticism standpoint. You would think that that would be the best match for KD, and it was no match at all. I mean, he just took turns. I mean, Sarah Kustak said it in the postgame. It looked like Kevin Durant highlights from Rucker Park. That's how dominant KD was. And when he's rolling like that, good luck trying to stop them. It's not going to happen.
Chris, he scored 32 points on 18 shots. He's 12 of 18 against the team.
Is he the best offensive player in the NBA?
I don't even think it's close. I mean, you mentioned the one play where he crosses Giannis up and then, you know, steps back and makes that, you know, that J right in his eyeball. But then, I mean, end of the third quarter, same thing. One-on-one, KD, Giannis. This is a defensive player of the year. He gets to the bucket, does the up and under.
Foolish, silly.
It's ridiculous.
50%, what, they hit 21 threes last night?
Yep.
They shot 50% from three? Nobody's going to beat this team if they play anything near what they did last night. And shame on Milwaukee. I know that Brooklyn played well, but come on. That's the performance that you show up in a huge game too when they don't have James Harden. Shame on them. It's pathetic.
It's demoralizing though, Dave. I mean, you see how quickly they can score. I mean, especially when they're moving the basketball. I mean, they break your defense down. At one point, like, I mean, go back to when we're breaking down the series, right? Every single person you heard, and you guys mentioned it earlier, PJ Tucker, You got Holiday, Giannis, all these different guys that can step up and defend, right? And it was like, okay, next guy up, let's see it. And it's they break your defense down, they kick it out, ball movement, shot, and guys are making shots. And finally, they're like, well, we can't even defend like this. We got to go zone. Like we have, like, what's the other answer? How do we slow this thing down? And then the Bucks are turning the ball over. I mean, like 16 turnover. Like it's just, dude. It looks like the Nets are playing a different game offensively than everyone else in the NBA is right now.
But Rico, you just touched on it. To me, that's the most impressive part about what the Nets are doing. The way they're playing on the defensive end of the court. Because the question the entire year was, are they going to be able to defend well enough to win a title? And they answering that question throughout the first couple of playoff series. I mean, just seeing what they're doing, those six playoff wins. I mean, last night, you said 16 turnovers by the Bucks that led to 23 points for the Brooklyn Nets. Like, if they're capable of playing that way defensively, I mean, there's no other team that's going to have a shot in the playoffs. I mean, Atlanta, Philadelphia, forget about it. I mean, I just, guys, if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving stay healthy, if this team, you know, continues to play with this kind of intensity and urgency early on in ball games, I mean, they're going to make a lot of teams tap out. I don't think there are a lot of teams in this. Matter of fact, I don't think there are any teams in this playoff field that can hang with them when they're rolling the way they did last night.
In all honesty, Chris, I mean, and we didn't see this level. I mean, again, it's all these teams, different level when you get to the postseason. But all you need is a couple stops with how potent they are offensively.
Yeah, because they're unstoppable. Milwaukee's good defensively, really good defensively, and they make them look silly almost every single possession. They can't compete. This series is over. Two games in. This was going to be the series. Oh, this is going to go seven. Look out. Milwaukee has a real chance. It's ridiculous.
Well, let's just I agree that the Nets are going to win the series, but let's see what Milwaukee looks like in game three. At
home. How could you possibly have any confidence in Milwaukee?
I don't have a ton of confidence, but, I mean, this is, we expected their best shot in game two. I just, in the NBA, the supporting cast is usually better at home. I don't know how much better that's going to be for Milwaukee or if that's going to be enough, but I would imagine there's enough pride inside of that dressing room that they're going to come out and at least, I mean, they're down 49 points.
Didn't look like they had a lot
night.
Of pride last night, Rico. In that second half, did not look like they had a lot of pride.
Well, how about the first half, though? But how about the first half? I mean, Giannis and Middleton, those are your two guys. They combined for 14 points in the first half of that game last night. 14.
Terrible.
I mean,
it was dreadful.
It was great last night. I mean, I was able to shut the game off at halftime. It was a 65-41. There was no chance Milwaukee was coming back in the second half. And it got worse. That's the thing that's crazy to me. Like, I mean, once the Nets decided, okay, we're going to call off the dogs, their bench came in and play and continued to extend the lead. Like, they picked it up. And that was one of the things that we said could be a silver lining with all the injuries that the Nets dealt with throughout the regular season, those bench guys getting a lot of minutes and being able to build up their confidence. Well, you're starting to get the dividends from that right now in the postseason. Those guys being able to knock down big shots, like, that's a part of it. Like, it just feels like this team is playing a ton of confidence. And, again, I'll keep saying this. I don't know that there's any team in the NBA playoff field that can compete with them when they're playing the way they were last night.
So, Chris Middleton has taken 31 shots through two games. You probably know. Do you have any idea how many shots of those 31 that he's made?
Ooh, it's not going to be good. I mean, he was 7 of 20 last night.
I'm going to say, like, 6 or 7.
No, he's made more than that. He's made of 30. You said of 31. I'm going to say he's made 12.
Well, I was given misinformation, so I actually don't have the answer. I'll have to look back at game one.
You don't have the information?
Well, no, because I was given. I'm looking it up right now. I was given misinformation.
Well, he hasn't shot well. He's not shot well.
All of what I was given was wrong. By the way.
Oh, okay.
I believe he's 13 of 43.
I saw I was close. I said 12.
That ain't great.
That ain't good.
That's horrendous.
That ain't great.
This is supposed to be one of your best players, really, really, in essence, your second best player, to give you that in two games?
But you can, like, when you watch that game, I mean, you can see, because they're so potent offensively and virtually impossible, when they make their shots the way they're making the shots right now, it's like they're impossible to stop. Like, you can see what that does to the Bucks. Like, it gets them out of what they normally do, because now they're chasing. Now they're taking bad shots. I mean, they're settling for bad shots. I mean, when they play defense, when the Brooklyn Nets are locked in, playing defense and creating turnovers and everything else, the way that they've done for the last couple games, and they're scoring the way that they're scoring, I can't even imagine the amount of pressure that puts on the opposing team. Sure, you can't go bucket for bucket with them. It's almost impossible.
No, you can't. But the problem is that if they play any defense and now you go bucket for, it's just a bad recipe. I don't think there is an answer. And this is a very unsettling soundbite from Giannis. We can't stop Durant. Only hope to make him a little bit uncomfortable.
I said before that, you know, he's Kevin Durant. He's one of the best scorers in the league. Like he's supposed to do this, you know. And but at the end of the day, we're just going to try to make the stuff as possible for him and show more bodies, just be more physical, and hopefully that can bother him a little bit.
Well, follow him then. They talking a big game right now. I mean, Chris mentioned it. It was 39 minutes in between free throw attempts for the Nets. Like, be physical. You're supposed to be a big physical team. Play that way. At least make them earn it a little bit.
They have no. I don't. Think
yeah. Try to
an
take
answer.
Your pound of flesh, right? Like try to wear them down physically.
Durant don't have any pounds on him.
But that's the whole point, though, right, Rico? Like, that's your only chance is to be able to slow him down by playing physically. I'm not saying play dirty, but I mean rough him up a little bit and try to make things a little bit difficult. Like, if he's going to try to be that aggressive scoring the basketball, like, make him feel every single bucket that he goes out there and gets, and maybe that slows him down over the course of the series. That's about the only chance you got, because the guys that you ran out on him defensively, I mean, he just took turns running through those guys. Like, listening to Giannis, I mean, they already sound defeated. When it comes to trying to stop Kevin Durant, they already sound defeated. So, I mean, Rick, I hear you about let's see what happens in game three, and I know that they say a playoff series doesn't start until the road team wins, but, I mean, this series feels all but over right now.
That's just me hoping that we're going to get a half-decent series. That's all that is.
I mean, how much do you hope that Milwaukee wins game three? I mean, if the Nets go out there and pound them in game three, what a disappointment. This is the one series that we all had circled. Like, all right, the only team that can really stand in the way is going to be Milwaukee. If they get humiliated and embarrassed, what hope is there for anybody else?
Dave, Milwaukee, I mean, you mentioned the defense, but Milwaukee, as far as scoring, is one of the better teams in the NBA. Held them to 86 points. 86 points. And then on top of it, the Nets starters. The Nets starters shot 57% last night. 57%. The Nets starter shot.
They could do whatever they want. And Kevin Durant after the game says, don't worry, we're starting to hit our stride. We're starting to get better now.
Kevin, before the series, Steve Nash said that you guys have to overcome your newness. Have you accomplished that?
No. I think we still got a long ways to go. This is an amazing team on the other side who I know, and on their home floor, they're going to come with it. So we have to, too. And we just did what we were supposed to do, was win two games at home.
What do you think you've learned about yourself?
I mean, we play hard, we play together, you know, then good things happen for us.
Tomorrow will mark 2 years since you initially injured your calf. I know you worked your butt off to get to this point. Did you ever think you'd be this good?
Is that a real question? Of course. I mean, yeah. What do you want me to say to that? Of course
I
did.
I mean, it's pretty impressive what you've been able to do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But, I mean, that was 2 years ago. I'm looking forward to just getting up tomorrow and going to practice, watching film, and seeing how we can get better. But, you know, I appreciate that. But, you know, that was too long ago.
That was some line of questioning there.
Yeah, let's just play the whole postgame next hour. Or just play the entire postgame.
Well, we didn't know if you were going to be here today, so we decided.
Every question they asked Steve now. So just run through it. Just make this a Brooklyn Nets postgame show for 3 hours.
That might be the most interesting aspect of any Brooklyn Nets game, Rico.
There hasn't been a beatdown like that since Dave got his first Playboy. I'm telling you right now.
Wow.
Wow. I'm glad you joined us today, though. Good for you.
That must have been epic. I can only imagine. That must have been epic.
Rick, you know what this is starting to feel like with Brooklyn? It's starting to feel like that 2016-2017 Warriors playoff run. Where it's like, maybe they can run the table. Maybe
that
they can
still
sweep.
Pisses me off.
Maybe they can sweep everybody they play against. Like, it's starting to feel like that.
Canty, that still aggravates me. I remember the day, me and you at Belmont, it was 177 degrees out, sweating, dripping.
Yep.
They end up losing the one game.
This is disgusting.
Just finish the job. I mean, if you're going to dominate like that, just go run the 16. I don't want to see 50. I don't want to see 16-1. Come on.
You're right. I don't think they care about that, but I mean, like, in terms of talent and the way that this team plays, like, they're capable of just having the one loss to the Boston Celtics. They're capable of sweeping everybody that
no,
they play against.
No, come on, stop it.
Okay.
Stop it. They're not going to sweep everybody.
Okay, Dave.
2 days ago, you said Milwaukee's going to take them seven.
Dave, I'm not saying that they will. I'm saying that they're capable. Seeing what they did last night, to what is supposed to be one of the best defensive teams in all of basketball, seeing what they did, they're capable of it. Now, whether or not they want to stay locked in and do it is entirely up to them. I don't think that's their priority. But I think they sent a message loud and clear to the rest of the playoff field last night. Like, this is supposed to be the game where Milwaukee's supposed to have a chance because we don't have James Harden, and they know we don't have him, so they can gear their game plan toward being able to slow down KD and Kyrie. And it didn't matter. Their starters scored 87 of 125 points. It didn't matter. It did not matter. So, yeah, they're capable of being every bit as dominant on the offensive end as we saw from that 2016-2017 Golden State team, if they want to be.
The 87 points wasn't even the most disrespectful part of last night's game either. It's just, can you imagine being one of those Bucks, like Giannis sitting on the bench and you're watching Reggie Perry just start making threes?
Yeah, guys, Shamit comes in.
Where is Blake Griffin getting these hops from? Did you see him dunk on Giannis?
Oh, he's rested the entire time he's been in Detroit. He's just been hanging out.
He saved it up. He saved it up. He banked it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you know what they should do with the sticky stuff? They should just, you know how in the clubhouse they have the thing for gambling? Like if you gamble on a game.
Oh, the sign, yeah.
They should just have a picture of Pineda with the pine tar on his neck.
Remember that?
Could it be more obvious though? Like Pineda wasn't even trying to hide it.
No. It's a birthmark. I swear, it's a sticky birthmark.
It's growth. It's a discoloration. All right, let's get to the calls on the Nets. People very excited, very disappointed. All of it. 800-919-3776. Let's go to D in Queens. D, lead us off. Good morning. You're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Like, first of all, this is the guy that gave the MVP, talk about Giannis, over James Harden. You can see it in his eyes. He looks scared. Like, that's your king? He's a good number two or number three. He's not a number one. Secondly, this is the Monstars. This is ridiculous. Like, this looks like the Rucker Park. It looks like Dave just was laughing at them. I mean, this is without Jeff Green. We acting like Jeff Green is not a major part of the Nets. And they still cook them. Like, the Bucks are a fraud. The bubble is a fraud. Because look at how the Heat got dominated by the Bucks, and even the Lakers get eliminated in the first round. I mean, the bubble was a fraud. Plain and simple. Look at T.J. Warren going crazy in the bubble. I mean, this is nuts.
Yeah, but D, here's the other thing, though, D. I mean, time out one second with the fraud, the fraudulence of the
bubble.
I mean, relax on that. I mean, it's tough for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you could point to a couple things, like, you know, why it benefited the Lakers having all those months off before you got to, you know, to the actual playoffs. So LeBron and AD were fully rested. I mean, AD, you saw what happened this year with the injuries and everything else. The other thing with the Heat, too, is, I mean, the Heat they only had, what was it, 71 days off from the finals to the start of the NBA season?
Yes.
Something crazy like that. And on top of it, I mean, they dealt with a lot of stuff with COVID and everything else. Like, the Heat were never right, really, the whole season.
No, they weren't.
And the Celtics, too. I mean, you listen to Tatum. Tatum had COVID. He had to use an inhaler for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. And Jaylen Brown was out for the playoffs.
And Jaylen Brown was out. So, I mean, just relax on that. Like, you're fraud because of the bubble success. Stop that, please.
I mean, can we just?
I don't think that makes you fraudulent. But I will tell you right now that I look at Milwaukee as a complete fraud. If they go down in this series, if they get swept through this series, I will never believe in Milwaukee again. They might win a championship. I won't believe it until they're three quarters of the way through the run. I will never buy into this team again if they get hammered in games 3 and 4.
Well, here's the thing, Dave. Milwaukee can be improved, and the Brooklyn Nets can just be that much better than them and everybody else in the NBA. Like I don't think it's necessarily fair to the Bucks to sit here and call them frauds when we've been calling the Brooklyn Nets the greatest collection of offensive talent that we may have ever seen.
But Brooklyn's not going to do this the entire way. They're not going to beat teams by 40 points.
You say that, Dave. I mean,
you think they're going to win the next?
They shoot over 50% from the field and 50% from three, and we've seen them do that routinely throughout the year. If they keep doing that, then you're going to continue to see the same result: blowout wins for the Brooklyn Nets.
What a dreadful postseason that would be. Ugh.
They played how many quarters this postseason? They beat the Celtics in 5.
Yeah.
So that's 20 quarters. And they played 2 games. So that's 28 quarters they played.
Yep.
Right? They've had 18 quarters where they scored 30-plus points.
Ooh. So 18 to 28?
I mean, I just think you're talking about, I mean, again, I see what you're saying, Dave, but
There's no way they're going to win every game like that.
No,
there's no way you don't need to watch the fourth quarter of every postseason game.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But to sit here and say that, you know, Milwaukee's this giant fraud, I mean, matchups make fights, right? Like right now, like you saw when Golden State was on their run. You know what I mean? Like, was LeBron James's, you know, Cleveland team a fraud?
No.
Or was it they went up against one of the best teams that we've seen in a long time? They were in the conversation for best team ever. Like, we haven't seen this team yet because they really haven't played it. And this is without James Harden. Like, so now you're getting a chance to see a Brooklyn team that's fully engaged on both sides of the ball, that's dialed in. So you're seeing what their ceiling is now. You hadn't seen their ceiling for the post for the regular season.
Because you had to see it, though, Rick. By six down the stretch, that's one thing. You shouldn't even have shown up last night. It was horrible performance.
You got TKO in the first quarter. That was it. You got punched in the face and you had no
answers. Embarrassing. Embarrassing. Dave in Brooklyn, you're next up on 98.7. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning. I just think that is just an example of beautiful basketball. I don't think I've seen, like, if you were showing someone, like a young kid, how to play basketball, the entire team is just selfish. The confidence just shows. Like, Joe Harris, I think, is one of the best-kept secrets in basketball because he does not miss, and they're beating him the ball.
I don't think that Joe Harris is a secret.
I mean, well, yeah, he's well-known now. I think that KD, Kyrie's confidence in him and the rest of the team, it just shows. Then you got Mike James you still got to worry about. Then you got Lucian Matt. And then the craziest part about it is next season they get Dinwiddie back. So I just think this Brooklyn
Dinwiddie's
team
not going to be
in
the Nets next season.
No, I think he's gone?
Yeah, Dinwiddie's going to be gone next season.
But that's
the beauty of this team. They don't even need him.
They don't have the space for him anymore. They don't have the space for him anymore. But I just think that team is just very confident, and it's showing throughout the bench. The energy is there from the first quarter. They take the spirit of whatever team they play. So I just think if they keep that up, I don't see any team coming close to competing with them.
No, you know what's great about this team, too? And Chris knows this with, you know, his team that won the Super Bowl, too. It's when you get, like, certain teams are put together really well. And this, I think, Brooklyn Nets team is put together really well with the complementary pieces. Like, you need guys. Like, your best guys aren't going to always be, or very rarely, the guys that do all the grunt work, right? Like, all the extra added stuff you need to win in the playoffs and to win a championship. But they got a nice mix of role players on this team.
They surely do.
They really do. I mean, Bruce Brown. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just mentioned Mike James. Look at Mike James.
Where did he come from? Exactly.
Russia, apparently.
Exactly. Right. They picked him up. Yeah, but again, we said this at the time, and we said it on numerous occasions, was the silver lining with this Nets team, and everyone kept going back to, well, no, the big three hasn't played together enough. They don't have continuity. And we said, the big three is going to take care of themselves because they're three of the most elite basketball players in the NBA, right? They'll figure it out. But having the opportunity for these role players to get extended minutes and have Steve Nash get an idea of, you know, which guys can do certain things was to their benefit because you're seeing those guys step up now in big spots.
Yeah, all their second-tier guys have played well. Almost all of them have played well. Now, CMT is back today. You are hosting CMT, correct, Rick?
Yeah, I'm hosting CMT today. Yes, that is correct.
I'm thrilled about that. Joe in Queens has a topical idea for you on CMT. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, DCR. This is actually my first time on the radio, so I'm hella nervous.
No, you're going to do great.
Today is my birthday. Thanks.
You can't be any worse than Dave.
Birthday.
Showing up is half the battle, Joe. So, so today's your birthday.
Hey,
happy birthday.
Easy, G.I. Joe.
Happy, very happy birthday.
Thanks. So, my birthday wish today actually is for you guys to handle these CMT questions the classic way, where I give you three items. Cuddle one, you marry one, you trash one.
Yep.
All right. So, first one is customizable foods. You got pasta, including spaghetti, pizza, and sandwich, including burgers.
Okay, yep.
I'd
Rick,
like
you taking notes
three
here?
Of them.
All right.
Oh, man, I might have to switch it up. I mean, I might go Mormon
Love
on
bacon.
This one and marry all three.
You can't marry all three.
If I was Mormon,
you're
I could, can't I?
Yeah, if you were Zach Wilson, you could get away with something like
I
that.
I think that only works in Utah, Rico.
I still got eligibility. Does BYU have a hockey team?
Wow.
I don't think they do.
They should. Oh, could have all sorts of trouble. Are we supposed to cuddle, marry, trash that one?
I don't know.
Are we supposed to save it for CMT?
I think I'll give you advice. For
I will save that one. So we're going. We got
sandwiches,
pasta,
pizza, or sandwich.
That's it. I mean, those are all. Good
I already
choices.
Know which one I'm marrying, though.
Multiple
I
cream
know
cheeses.
Which one I'm
well, what kind of sandwich? You can't just throw sandwich out there.
No, he said customizable.
Yeah.
So this is what makes it great: is that you pick because you can do it. Which one you can do the most things with that you enjoy. Like all the different pastas you can create, all the different pizzas you can create, sandwiches.
Yeah, but I feel like there's only one right answer for the one you're going to marry.
It's got
to
be pizza.
Yeah, it just feels like that. I got to think about it a little bit. I got some time, but...
Yeah, but you
got
to remember, though. I mean, just sandwiches, though. Don't just think lunch sandwiches, too. We're talking bacon, egg, and cheeses. We're talking, chicken cutlet, roast beef. We're talking Reubens. We're talking Cubans.
Did you
hear but can you
Kay
do a
yesterday?
Dessert sandwich? I mean, I guess outside of an ice cream sandwich?
Ice cream sandwich? Ice cream. Oh, how about that? That's a loophole.
That is a loophole.
In the rules.
The ice cream sandwich is a loophole, but I'm just sitting here thinking about dessert pizza, though. How many different ways you could go with that? You could go pizza cookie. Oh,
Nutella.
And now
look
at this
Nutella
pizza? Obese man that's going to sit in the chair.
Dude, what you talk about one of the biggest fails of all time, speaking of ice cream sandwiches. So for Memorial Day weekend, we saw this on the Food Network. They made an ice cream sandwich cake. So what they did was it was like two layers of red velvet cake, and then in between the layers, so it was a layer of ice cream sandwiches, layer of red velvet, layer of ice cream sandwiches, layer of red velvet, and then you would frost it with whipped cream. But you would make the whipped cream blue, so it looked like when you cut into it, it was like the American flag. Thing was gorgeous, Dave.
Nice.
Gorgeous.
Nice.
Took a picture. I mean, it was beautiful. Threw it in the freezer. Went to go get it for the kids to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Complete blowout. All the ice cream sandwiches had blown out all the ice cream.
Really?
All out the sides. No more ice cream. Ice cream was gone.
Oh, God. Now, did you eat it or did you toss it?
No, we had to eat it. I mean, it still tasted good, but it looked awful. Like, you had to scoop around it to, like, get the ice cream back on. It was epic fail. Epic fail.
Well, you know what? I'm sure it still tasted delicious, and that's an epic.
Speaking of sandwiches yesterday, do you guys see the K show?
Yeah.
Michael K. The burger with cheese and a little bit of the ointment, as he calls it.
So I'm in the car with Ben, and Ben is like, he's like, wait. He goes, he's never had American cheese? And I was like, yeah, somehow this man has never had American cheese up until this very moment.
Some people are weird like that, man. He hasn't had any of that stuff, though. But like, he doesn't have condiments, period. Like, there's no condiments, no ketchup, no mustard, no mayonnaise. Like, he doesn't eat eggs, doesn't eat seafood.
I mean, you don't find this to be very strange?
I just think once you get, I mean, once
for
you get
an
stuck
adult
in those,
who have never had, like to what is he? He's 60, right?
Once you get stuck in your habits, though.
To be an adult and never had American cheese?
I don't think he's a big cheese guy. Outside of pizza, I don't think he's a huge
cheese
guy at all.
But how big of a cheese guy do you have to be to have never tried American cheese?
That's a great point.
That's a good point. I mean,
that's a great point.
You make a good point. What was more question? But what I had to question too, watching the show, was it was steamy hot yesterday. And Rosenberg shows up to the golf tournament
in a
suit with a suit with a light blue shirt on. That is sketchy. That is sketchy. You never wear a light blue shirt.
It was hot. And then it poured yesterday.
It was moist out yesterday, too. It was like you stepped out, you started sweating.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
You see Jeff Bezos and his brother going into space?
I did see that, Dave.
No, thank you.
Yeah, that was, it's a vehicle that his company built, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think they're supposed to be giving away a seat on that trip as well, aren't they?
If they called right now and said, Chris Canty, we have a large seat, an extra large seat, you'll have plenty of leg room, would you go into space with them?
Nah, Dave, I'm all set. I'm all set. I mean, I ain't lost nothing up there. And as a black man, I got enough adventure in my life. I'm straight. I'm good.
Could be our next giveaway. Who knows? Sure, Pete Daugherty's hard at work right now.
Brothers?
Win a seat. Be caller number 7. You could win a seat up to space. And you guys are crazy. You guys, You laughed at me. You scoffed at me when I said I believed in aliens and UFOs. Scoffed at me.
So I taped 60 Minutes and I watched them in the coming weeks, right? I taped one from a few weeks ago, and they did a full segment, like 15 minutes on UFOs.
Yep.
And they showed all that. You saw that, Chris?
I saw it.
And all these videos that they have of UFOs.
Like that kind of party.
And people that didn't, like pilots that are up and down the East Coast that don't believe in UFOs.
I want to see a UFO.
There is something out there. Clearly there's something out there. So I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't need to be on the cutting edge of exploring what the hell is out there, Dave. I'll leave that for somebody else to do.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch. It's real.
Yeah, I'm all set on that.
Yeah, I don't know about Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Sasquatch, Loch Ness Monster, I'm on the fence. Aliens for sure.
You fully believe in the alien?
Fully believe in the alien. What was Alf?
Well, Alf was a puppet.
E.T.
E.T.?
E.T. These are created for movies.
Chicken Little.
Just saying, it could be fiction that's based in some reality, true. Dave. It could be.
It's possible.
By the way, here's another thing.
Chicken.
How did the Jetsons have a microwave?
It was a cartoon.
Well, yeah, but how do they? There's no such thing as microwaves. How do they have a microwave? A lot going on you don't know about, Dave. A lot going on.
It's above his pay grade.
This is one of the reasons why I would like to be the president. I would want to know all this stuff. I probably couldn't handle most of it, but I want to know all of it.
Your hair would go from that beautiful color
to ghost white.
How long would it take you to write a speech?
Oh, years.
The State of the Union? Forget about it.
I have to start it now.
For 4 years from now. Are you stressed out about the Thursday Open? What would you do for the State of the Union?
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bacon.
I get up there. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bacon.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bacon, America.
Good Thursday morning.
That's right.
Good inauguration morning.
Oh, my God. You are unbelievable. Rock, the Rock in Brooklyn. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Not to pat myself on the back. I knew when they got Kyrie and Durant, they were going to win the championship. And you can't say I'm bandwagoning it because I've been a Nets fan ever since Jason Kidd came to New Jersey. What I don't understand, and maybe you guys can help me understand, New Yorkers, they either pick the Knicks or the Nets, mostly the Knicks. You're from New York. Why not root for the Nets? That's it.
Why are we going to jump on that? Well, if you're already a Knicks fan, why are you going to jump on the Nets bandwagon? I mean, the Nets were in Jersey.
Why is everybody so concerned? Like, you're a Nets fan. You love the Nets. Root for the Nets. That's fine.
Yeah, why would you want more people in New York to jump on the wagon? I mean, you just went out of your way to tell us you didn't jump on the bandwagon. Be proud of that. You don't want bandwagon fans now.
Well, why is there this great, oh, you've got to start rooting for the Nets. Why do I need to root for the Nets?
I don't think you do, Dave.
No, and I'm not going to.
I'll tell you who I'm rooting for. The Utah Jazz.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. Phoenix looked good last night, too, by the way.
They did, Dave. They really did.
I think it's going to be Phoenix and Brooklyn in the NBA Finals.
Chris Paul getting hurt again for some reason scares me about Phoenix.
Don't put that out there in the universe, man.
Hurt once. I'm just
Come
saying.
Come on, man. He already had the shoulder thing against the Lakers. Let it be that.
And his new commercials are terrible. The new stadium.
Yeah, the whole
awful.
One with the cutout.
Oh, awful. And the one where he turns into a basketball, horrendous.
Yeah,
come on.
That's not good. Let's go.
It's so bad.
I know.
You had the great
Eddie
one, too.
In Brooklyn. Good morning, Eddie.
The one with Mahomes in Aaron in Drake. That was a great one.
Or the one with Carlton from The Fresh Prince, Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yeah, though, I mean, to come with this.
I like that one.
Oh, brutal.
All right, Eddie in Brooklyn. Good morning. Eddie.
Yeah, guys, how you doing this morning?
We're doing fine, Eddie. We're doing really well.
Listen, I spoke to your guys before, and I told you that nobody's beating the Brooklyn Nets if those guys are healthy. And now look at it. Even without Harden, they're putting in the work. This, like, Giannis is good, but Kevin Durant is better, or you could say is greater than Giannis. And then you got Kyrie Irving that's breaking people ankle, breaking them down. You know, like, there's no team that's going to beat that team. You know, the only way they're going to get beaten if one of them guys, like one of the two that's on the court now, get hurt.
No, KD.
That's the only way they're going to get beat. And then I would pray for James Harden's sake that he get healthy and get on the court, because it's going to look bad for these guys to win a championship without him.
I think he'll be back. I would imagine at some point. I mean, this is the best thing about, you know, just keep winning the way they're winning. You don't have to rush him back.
Nope, not at all. There's no, we've got to push him back into the lineup. You're winning games by 40 points without him. You need an extra day, take an extra day.
Kevin Durant is the best. I mean, I don't even think it's a real question. He's the best
That's
scorer.
That's what he said.
I mean, he's the best scorer. I don't even think it's close. I mean, his size.
He's 7 feet
kind of players,
tall.
Too.
He can get any shot on
any
the court
shot
that he wants.
That's the thing. Yeah. He gets any shot he wants. And is there a better mid-range shooter than he is in the NBA?
I don't, Dave, I mean, it's a short list of better shooters, period, than him in the NBA. It's a very short list.
Dave, he's a 50-40-90 guy. I mean, that's his size.
Awesome.
At 6'11".
He is awesome.
That can handle the, I mean, he can handle the basketball the way he can handle the basketball.
There's nothing he can't do. Dennis in Long Beach. Good morning, Dennis.
Dennis.
Hello.
Come on, Dennis.
Dennis.
Come on,
Dennis. Dennis likes the Bucks' chances to bounce back in the series. Maybe that's what
Take it.
Missing.
Take it.
That was a fun show. That was a good spot in Long Beach. Remember that live show we did in Long Beach?
Oh, that was great.
That was a good spot.
The end of the summer show?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Pete Stemkowski went to that show.
Any excuse to have a couple adult bevies when we're on the... On the air is...
Uh-oh. We hung out there for a while after the show
was
over. Yeah, it was cool.
That was hot also, I think.
Yes. Yeah, that was really hot, yeah.
Right? Yep. All right, 800-919-3776. So, are you opposed to talking about your Islanders?
I think we should spend the next hour and 16 minutes.
I don't envision that.
Let me tell you what we're not going to do.
Yeah, I can promise you. Let me, before we get into the Islanders conversation, tomorrow on MSG Plus, join Butch Goring and Shannon Hogan for live, complete Islanders post-game wrap-up with all the highlights, locker room interviews, and so much more. Remember to turn to MSG Plus immediately following Islanders Bruins Game 6 for the Islanders post-game show tomorrow on MSG Plus, or stream it on MSG Go and be listening to the Michael Kay Show today in the 5 o'clock hour. Oh, how about this? For your chance to win two tickets to Game 6 at Nassau Coliseum, brought to you by MSG Networks. That was a great, great game last night, Rick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a huge win. I mean, a huge win.
Feels Varlamov like they kind of stole it, though, no?
A little bit. I mean, Varlamov was great. I mean, especially as soon as the Bruins tied it up at 2 and... I mean, I can't stand him, but he's still one of the better players in the NHL. Marchand, I mean, the move he makes it 2-2. Place is going absolutely berserk.
That was an unbelievable move, though.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, the guy's nasty. And then, I mean, you heard the Garden. I mean, they have all the momentum, and they brought it to the Islanders. They took it to them. Varlamov was awesome, gave the Islanders an opportunity, and then the Isles PP. I mean, the Isles PP has been the difference.
Yep.
It was the difference last night. And you heard Cassidy after the game complaining about it. Oh, we're playing the same game. They got this reputation. Stop it, please.
It feels like that's what coaches do when they're out of answers in terms of how to beat the opposing team. Feels like across all the sports, that's what coaches do. They start bitching about the officials.
But, I mean, I understand why he's doing it, because now he wants, well, obviously the focus going to Game 6 mm-hmm. is going to be, you know, you know what's
going to happen. He's laying the groundwork is what he's doing.
You know exactly what's going to happen. And the reality in the series is 5-on-5. The Bruins, I mean, even last night, 5-on-5, the Bruins carried the play. But, I mean, when the Islanders are able to do what they did in the power play, I mean, that's – special teams are so important in the postseason, especially when you play the style that the Islanders play.
What, they scored three power play goals last night?
Yeah, three.
I mean, if you're the Islanders with that defense and that goaltending, you score three goals on the power play, I got to figure you're unbeatable.
Yeah, but that's my point. Like, if you're going to play a defensive system the way the Islanders play a defensive system, right? You're not going up and down the ice. That's not how you want to play. Like, you're not going to get a ton of chances. So if you have the ability to play the way they can defensively, get great goaltending, and then take advantage of the power play, that's a nice recipe. And that's what they had last night. And what did I say? I said, you asked me when Barzal scored that goal and they lost, what's the silver lining? I said, Barzal might be getting going now.
Yep.
And he's been
he has been
maker.
He has been much better. I mean, he had one goal through what, like 12 games of the or 10 games of the postseason. and now he's gotten really going the last couple games. Huge difference. You mentioned Bruce Cassidy, the head coach of the Boston Bruins, saying refs need to call the series even for both of these teams.
Not like I'm sitting there going, well, every call against us sucks. It's not true. It's just the end of the day, the similar plays, they need to be penalized on those plays. But like I said, I think they've done a great job selling that narrative that, you know, they're clean. They play hard. Hard brand of hockey. Love the way they play. But they commit as many fractions as we do. Trust me. So it's just a matter of calling them.
I love Barry Trotz's response to that, though, right? He's like, I don't know what he's talking about. We were one of the least penalized teams in all of hockey during the regular season. You'd have to ask him about what he's talking about. I love that response.
Let's take a little more of a listen. More Bruce Cassidy. They're not exactly the New York Saints on the other side there.
Playing a team that has very respected management, coaching staff. They won a Stanley Cup. But I think they sell a narrative over there that it's more like the New York Saints, you know, not the New York Islanders. They play hard and they play the right way. But I feel we're the same way. And the calls, the exact calls that are getting called on us do not get called on them. And I don't know why. These are very good officials. They're at this point in the season for a reason. You've got continuous high sticks every game, the exact same high sticks. Bergie and Nelson behind the net, the one that comes up on Smith. Marshy got called for that in game one. I could go on and on. Wagner the other day in front of the net. You know, maybe we need to sell them more flop, but that's not us.
All right, here is the response from Barry Trotz to Bruce Cassidy.
You'll have to ask him about that. I know that just look at where we ended up during the year. I think we were one of the least penalized teams in the whole league. So I don't know what he means by that. You'll have to ask.
I love it. Barry Trotz.
Yeah, how about just kill a penalty? How about that? They don't let the Islanders score 3 power play goals.
And you know what, Rick? That was such a weakness for the Islanders. Their power play has been so bad, and we talked about it for years, really, at this point, about how they can't succeed on the power play. It all changed last night.
Yeah, but especially in the series. I mean, I think that puts them at, I think they're 6-for-15 so far in the series. Well, I mean, your PP starts going at 40%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's legit. So, yeah, I get what he's saying, because there were a couple of those calls, like the Corrali, whatever that was, slash... I mean, on Dobson, that's a borderline call. Maybe the cross check in front of the net, they've been letting those go quite a bit. But the one, I mean, Barzal getting elbowed in the face,
right,
coming across the middle of the ice. That's a penalty. I don't care who you are. That's a penalty.
The neck. You can't.
It's just
argue
a needless penalty. That's just a stupid penalty. Like, things you don't need to do if you're the Bruins.
Listen, what are the keys that we talk about in any hockey series? Your power play and your goaltending. And right now, the Islanders' power play and goaltending is better than the Bruins at the moment.
Yeah, and apparently Tuukka Rask is banged up. I mean, he didn't play in the third period. I mean, Cassidy kind of alluded to after the game that he wasn't 100%, so we'll see how that turns out.
How nervous did you get, though?
Nervous.
From 5-2 to 5-4?
5-4, but it wasn't like 5-4, a minute and a half left.
No, it's 5 minutes left.
There was more. There was, 5:17 left in the third period? Good thing Trotz called that timeout, because they snapped out of it once he called that timeout. And he did a hell of a job last night with matchups and everything else. Because it is, I mean, it's... When you have a line as potent as that Bruins top line, and you're on the road, like, trying to match up with that is not easy, and trying to get the matchups you want, you know, on the offensive side is not easy. And I thought Trotz did a really good job. Like, you saw a bunch of the times, like, keeping, like, Pageau is a much more responsible defensive player than Brock Nelson. So you would see times where it was Beauvillier and it was Bailey, but you had Pageau playing center just to make sure that they were. You know, they were better defensively, which is, I mean, this is why Barry Trotz is who he is. This is why the Capitals are insane for ever letting him go.
You'll be there tomorrow night?
No.
No?
No, why would I switch it up now? I mean, we're a game away from going to the semifinals.
You can't call it the Eastern Conference Finals anymore.
It's the semifinals.
Right, to the Final Four.
So, Rick, let me ask you this question. If the Isles are capable of getting out of this series, if they actually pull it off, how do you like the Tri-State's chances of being able to celebrate 2 championships this summer?
You want me to be emotional or you want me to be honest?
I want you to be honest.
I don't love them.
You don't love them?
No, because you got to play
Tampa. But you didn't think they were going to win this series.
No, but this is a timeout. They still got a lot of work to do. I mean, this isn't the first time Boston has been in a situation like this. Like, Boston, this team has come back from similar situations. They did it against Toronto, so this team is capable of doing it. So we'll cross that bridge when we get across that bridge. But, I mean, then next up is Tampa. As good as the Islanders' power play, as good as the Islanders' power play has looked, have you seen Tampa's power play lately?
Yeah, they are
with Kucherov back. It's ridiculous.
Dave, it sounds like he doesn't want to touch the money. That's what it sounds like.
I don't need the money for him. You know what? I have a lot of respect for that. Do not touch the money. Leave it right there in the middle. Don't touch it.
You see a stripper touch the money before the song's over? Never.
Yeah. Depends on where you go.
Sometimes. If you
want to talk to some of your Islanders brethren, by the way?
Do I want to hear from all of them?
Some of them.
I'd like to hear. Give me the whole post-game press conference, would you?
No, I wasn't. I didn't say that. I said, do you want to get some callers?
Oh, I want all the callers. Every single Islanders
every
fan
single
that complains.
Drop, squeeze we don't talk. Out.
We don't talk about the Islanders. They better call it today because that's what we're talking about.
800-919-3776. Ross in Manhattan. Good morning, Ross. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
So this is actually a huge Rangers fan, and it would kill me if the Islanders make it to the Cup. But I want to ask you guys a question. So if the Islanders do make it to the Cup but they don't win, who had a better three-year run? The Islanders these past three or the Rangers from 13 to 16 or 14 to 16?
Does it matter if neither wins a cup?
Right.
Both good runs.
For the fan bases that always are, you know, you're only as good as your last win, I think there's more of a, an ego kind of a scenario.
Stop it. Do you really think the Islanders have arguments of who had a better run, this Islanders' three-year run or the Rangers from 15 to 17 or 14 to 16 or whatever it was? I haven't heard anything like that.
No, I mean, it's a Rangers fan kind of grasp its straws that, our team is legitimate and your team is a borderline dumpster fire right now.
Not a dumpster fire. We're going to be fine. Even the Rangers are heading in the right direction, and they're going to be a good team.
No, I don't disagree. I think Chris is going to do a great job.
You know what? Here's the point. Why, when we talk Nets, do the Knicks always have to be brought in? Why, when we're trying to talk Islanders, does it have to lead to Rangers conversation?
Because I was a Rangers fan.
Why can't you just enjoy the Islanders?
Do you enjoy the Islanders right now?
Do I?
Do you?
No, but I'm being fair. No, don't lump me into this. I didn't say anything negative. I brought up the Islanders. We talked about them. I've made cogent points. We're getting to calls. You can't blame me. I didn't bring up the Rangers.
No, but you're asking why Ross can't be happy for the Islanders. He just called
and told
you. I'm
not saying be happy. Why would Ross call at that moment? This is not a for Ross moment. This is for the Islanders fans moment.
He's a disgruntled Rangers fan that wanted to call in and kind of rain on our parade. That's not on us. That's on RJ. But he's got to put that up on the screen.
RJ.
Well, he's got to put that up on the screen, doesn't he? Rangers fan.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's fair.
It's the first guy you go to.
You know what? I didn't know. It didn't say who had a better run, this team or that team.
So sensitive.
Well, you know what? I'm sick of you attacking me. I cut your phone line again. Let's go to Joe and Nassau. Joe, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Good morning, Joe. You want to talk about the Rangers?
You guys basically, you guys basically hit all my points about the Islanders already as I was waiting while you were having a conversation. But I have to agree, their power plays look great. Barzal showed up. Edlund showed up. The whole team's playing as a team. Orlamo's playing excellent in the goal. If they have a win like that again tomorrow night in the Coliseum, they might have to move into Belmont a little early because the Coliseum might collapse. But it's definitely going to be rocking there.
Have you seen the parking lot lately?
Yeah,
Dave, have you seen
in.
The parking lot at the Collie?
Yes.
Between the parking lot at the Collie, Borelli's, like, the Islanders fans are different level right now.
Well, they should be. I mean, their team is flying at the right time. And it's the perfect time because people are starting to come out of the cocoons that they've been in for a year and a half. So it's really the perfect storm of excitement there for the Islanders and their fans. Good for them.
As beautiful as Belmont looks, like, I mean, you've seen how beautiful that new arena is going to be.
You're going to miss the Coliseum.
No, but I mean, that's the fact that you can go to the Coliseum and they can tailgate and everything else. I mean, that was something special. The building wasn't great, but I mean, to have, to drive into a game and see the parking lot full. I mean, Chris has gone through the same thing. You don't usually see that in hockey, but have the parking lot full of people tailgating, getting all fired up. Oh.
It's an awesome feeling. That's an awesome feeling.
And then the place starts shaking. Like, you can feel it shaking
it
as you're sitting in the dressing room. It's amazing.
I'm
telling you, when I got called up, me and Trent Hunter, I'll never forget this, we got called up for the Maple Leafs Islander series, and we were there for the game where Batesy scored the penalty shot goal against Curtis Joseph.
Yep. I had Bates on the hockey show last week.
Yeah, dude.
He said nothing negative about you. I tried to push him as best I could.
He was my roommate. I love him. Cucka Bates. Do you ask him why they call him Cucka?
No, I did not.
Because he's got a Cucka eye. He's dead. He's got a one bad eye. They call him Cucka. Dude, we're in the press box. It felt like the press box was... I'm not even joking. That's his real nickname. It felt like the press box was going to fall in on itself. The building was shaking like that. It was almost scary being up there. That's why that building is special.
It is. And it's got a lot of memories, and it is a good way to say goodbye to the Coliseum.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.